All right, if you have your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. We're going to read an unusual passage of Scripture. You may have heard this preached on before, or at least part of it. And in this passage of Scripture, there are several names, and y'all know that I have trouble sometimes pronouncing some of the Bible names, but we'll just do the best we can and get through it. We'll read just the first couple of verses for kind of a jumping off point. Leviticus 10:1 says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them in his censer and put fire therein and incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this morning to study your word. Be with those that are not here with us this morning. Just have your hand of protection on them and bring them back to us safely. Be with the service this morning. Help everything said and done to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leviticus chapter 10 is where we're at. If you were to look back and read through chapter 9, and we're not going to read through all of chapter 9, but chapter 9, the previous chapter, Moses has explained the sacrifices to them, demonstrated the sacrifices to them, and sanctified them. These two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, have been just recently sanctified, set apart, and educated on sacrifice. It doesn't take too long, even for the priest in the house of God, to fail. They hadn't gone very far. They hadn't gotten very far into this new sacrificial system, and they've already messed up. They've already failed. You know, we often talk about the fall of mankind and how everyone is a sinner before God, because that's our heritage, that's our nation, or our nature. We often talk about the wickedness around us. It's easy to look at the news and see wickedness, see ungodliness. Debbie and I do not have a TV in our home. Any entertainment we get is either a DVD we buy or something we look up on the internet, and we're very particular about the kind of stuff we watch and the kind of stuff we look at. We were out and about celebrating birthdays and all that this week, and we were at a restaurant that had a TV hanging on the wall, and it was on some kind of news program, and I was kind of sitting with my back to it, but Debbie could see it, and she made the comment. She said, "Every time I look up at that, there's some kind of problem. There's some kind of bad thing that they're flashing across the news. People doing ungodly things, people living lifestyles that are contrary to the things of God." And it's easy for us to look around and see wickedness and point out sin in people. You know, when our nation has a whole month dedicated toward the advancement and the praise of a lifestyle that is called an abomination before God, it's easy to see the wickedness of that. It's easy to see the problems with that. And we could go on and name one thing after another: the alcohol use, the drug use, the abortions, the anger, the bitterness, the pride, the gluttony, lots of things that we could talk about that's completely contrary to the Word of God. And it's easy to look at the world and see their sin. We don't often consider it or talk about it when the sin is in the church or the sin is amongst God's people. God created Adam and Eve in the perfect environment. and it didn't take them long to corrupt it. God sanctified Aaron and his sons and put them in his house, and it didn't take them long to corrupt it. I believe a lot, not all, but a lot of churches in our nation, a lot of churches in our world today have corruption in them. They have sin in them. Just because it goes on in the house of God, just because it goes on amongst God's people, doesn't make it right. Just because the preacher says it, doesn't make it right. Paul even said, search the scriptures and see if these things be so. Paul is saying, you know, if I tell you something, look it up in the Word of God and see if it's right. Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven bring another gospel, don't listen to it. Don't pay attention to it. Even if an angel from heaven comes, or you think it's an angel, and they tell you something that's contrary to the Word of God, don't accept it. We can easily corrupt the house of God. You know, they're burning incense. Back to our verse, they put fire in their censer and they burned incense on it. Incense was a picture of worship and praise toward God. Oftentimes, the Bible says they did a certain thing and it was a sweet-smelling savor before God. That odor of that burning incense was a memorial. It was like a prayer of thanksgiving and worship to God. By the way, there are still some cultures and still some religions that believe in the burning of the incense toward God. But this incense that they're burning is a picture of their worship toward God. Just because somebody calls something worship, that doesn't mean that it's pleasing to God. I think a lot of our music today that goes on in churches that people call worship music, God is not pleased with. There was a so-called revival here recently at a college campus, and if you looked at what was supposedly the praise that was going on in that particular situation, I don't believe that God was pleased with that. I don't believe that that was worship that was honoring God. From the verses that follow, and we may read some of these if we have time this morning. But from the following verses, the verses talk about wine. Let me go ahead and which verses are those? Verse 9. Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a tribute forever throughout your generations. From the verses about wine, you could get the idea. Some people believe that these sons of Aaron got drunk and they let the fire go out. They're supposed to get fire from under the altar, and they let the fire go out, so they got fire from somewhere else. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says they offered strange fire before the Lord. Now imagine this. You see these sons of Aaron burning incense. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They've got a censer. Some sort of container that they could put some coals in, and they could drop some incense on top of those coals, and that lets the smoke of that incense come out. And you see them in the tabernacle, and they've got the censer, and there's smoke coming out of it, so obviously there's fire, and they're dropping in incense, and you can smell it, and it all smells right, and everybody that looked at that situation would say, those boys are doing what they're supposed to do. But God said it was strange fire. God cared where the fire came from, and God could tell the difference. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the manifestation of the Spirit of God was with fire. Bible says cloven tongues as a fire. In the previous chapter, fire had come from God as a sign of the acceptance of the sacrifice. Let's read that, verse 24, if you've still got your Bible open, the last verse of chapter 9. It says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Fire was a picture of God's presence. In the New Testament, sometimes the fire is a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But one way or the other, the Holy Spirit is God, by the way. So this fire is a representation of the presence of God and the Spirit of God. Today, God knows the difference between the working of the Spirit, His fire, and the working of the flesh and its fire. If we do something in the Spirit of God, God knows the difference whether we're doing it in His Spirit or our spirit. God knows the difference. God can look at what we do. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thou doest, do it as unto the Lord." God knows when we do things according to His word and we do things according to our word. By the way, you can have two people in the same church that are doing the same thing. They can read out of the same Bible. They can pass out the same tracts. They can sing the same songs. They can pray and say amen at all the right times. And one of them be doing it according to the Spirit of God and another doing it according to the flesh. The preacher can stand up and preach the same message and preach it either in the direction of the Spirit or preach it according to the flesh. And God knows the difference. The fire that they offered was not something that God has commanded. The Bible says they offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. No matter how good it looks, no matter how it sounds, if it's not according to God's word, then He's not pleased with it. It doesn't matter how polished it is. It doesn't matter how much it makes sense. It doesn't matter how much everybody thinks it's a blessing to them. If it's not according to God's word, then God is not pleased with it. There's preachers right now standing in pulpits all over the United States that are getting up and preaching from the Bible or what they call the Bible, but they're preaching what is pleasing to men. They're preaching what they desire to preach, and they've got it well thought out. They've got it polished. They've got it where it sounds exactly right. They've got out their dictionary and figured out the best word to use in that sentence to make it sound as good as it can sound, but if it's not what God has called them to do, then God is not pleased with it. I believe there's preachers standing up on the flip side of the coin. There's preachers standing up today that when they preach, it doesn't seem like the words are coming out right. Everything doesn't seem to fit together and it's not polished just right. Their grammar's not right. And if you looked at their notes, their spelling's not right and all of that. But they're preaching what God has told them to preach and God accepts it. God is pleased with it. Just from my own personal example, we get up here and we preach, and by the time we get halfway through the message, we usually have in our mind whether we think the message is going good or not. Is it coming out the way we thought it would? Does it sound like does it seem as strong when we get up to preach it as it seemed when we were studying it and the Lord was laying it on our heart? And it never fails that when we get to the point where we seem like this just isn't going right. This is not coming out like I had planned for it to. And I thought I had all these points in order and everything lined up. And it just seems like I'm stumbling over it. And there's even times that we sit down to try or stand up to try to read the text. And it almost seems like we can't even read right. We're stumbling over words and having to back up and correct ourselves. But when we do that, a lot of times somebody will come up and say, you know, that message was just what I needed. You know what the difference is? It's not about how good we speak. It's not about how well prepared our notes are. It's not about how focused we are and whether we can pronounce all the names in the passage or not. It's whether or not we're doing what we're doing under the command of God and in the Spirit of God, or if we're doing it according to our own will and in the power of the flesh. No matter how good it looks or sounds, if it isn't according to God's word, God's not pleased with it. So what is the result? They offered strange fire, things that God had not commanded. The Bible says, by the way, I'm glad we do not live in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. God took this matter of sin in his house very seriously. You know, aren't you glad that fire doesn't fall every time somebody speaks or acts or thinks wrong in God's house? How many of us would still be here if the fire of God fell? And I mean, not just when we sin in general, but if we say something or think something or do something that's contrary to the word of God, just in his house, how many of us would have survived as long as we have? Probably not a single one of us. Because we've all had those thoughts. Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever just sat in a church service, maybe not necessarily here or with me preaching, but sat there and just said, you know, I wish the preacher would just shut up and go on so we could go home. I wish we could get this over with. And we're not enjoying the Word of God. We're not enjoying the things of God. We're not focusing. We daydream. I know the preacher's not the only one that does this. Have you ever been sitting in church and your mind is drifting towards something else? And it may be something else that's very important, but now's not the time. You know that happens to preachers too. Preacher can be up here preaching, talking about the Word of God, trying to proclaim what God has laid on your heart, and the devil is making him think about that important thing that needs to be done tomorrow. The devil's making him think back and second guess that conversation that he had with somebody yesterday. And what did they really mean by that? The devil can use a lot of things to distract us. Aren't you glad that God don't just strike us dead when we do something contrary to him in his house? Then Moses said unto Aaron, verse 3, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God will ultimately be glorified. He said, this is what I was talking about when I said I would be sanctified and I'll be glorified. This is what I was talking about. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest the wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. They were ordered not to mourn the deaths. And you imagine this, Aaron's two sons, or two of Aaron's sons, has just died. And Moses calls some people and says, gather them up and take them outside the camp. You know, he doesn't say to bury them. He doesn't say what to do with them. Just get them out from the presence of the Lord. And then he tells Aaron, ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron is not even allowed to go to the funeral, whatever it was, lest ye die. They were not to mourn the deaths. They were to mourn the judgment, the fire that the Lord had kindled. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, now thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now we're going to get into some of the commandments of God. These guys have received the commandment of God. They've received instruction on the sacrifice and the burning of incense and all that, but they haven't followed those directions. And God's going to get into a little bit more detail, and he's going to start telling them about some things that they should or shouldn't do, and he's going to give them a reason why. He says, lest ye die. Don't do this, or you're going to die. Some of the commandments that God gave was so people didn't die. Again, imagine if God sent fire into the church for every wrong attitude or every wrong word. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the obvious sins in the world around us. But you know, when people in God's house have pride, God's not pleased with that. When people exhibit bitterness, God's not pleased with that. Jealousy and all kinds of things. We could go on and on and on mentioning attitudes and words and actions that God's word clearly spells out as wrong. And aren't you glad God doesn't just kill us when we go contrary to his word? So the commandment is so people don't die. Verse 10, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. The commands of God make a distinction between his servants and those of the world. Or does not the Bible say something along the lines of, how are people going to know that you're my disciples? They're going to know you're my disciples if you love one another and if you keep my commandments, if you do what I tell you to. Now, can we look at a person necessarily, whether they're obeying God's word or not, and tell whether they're saved or not? No, we can't do that. We can't determine based on their actions whether they're a child of God or not, because their salvation and their relationship with God has nothing to do with their actions. It's not of works. But we can look at them and make the distinction whether they're serving God or not. God here says to put a difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. God is saying, I'm giving you some of these commandments so people can see who's serving me and who's not. It's not a matter of does it make sense? You know, the incense is going to burn just the same no matter where the fire comes from. The smell is going to be the same. It's going to carry the same. It's going to draft the same, no matter where the fire comes from. But God wants it to be his fire so he can make a distinction between his people and the people of the world. Debbie and I had a conversation the other day about convictions. You know what a conviction is? A conviction is something that's not necessarily laid out in the Bible, but it's just the command that God has given you according to the Holy Spirit in your heart about the way you ought to do a certain thing. You know, churches, when it comes to their music, different churches have different convictions on how music ought to operate. When it comes to dress, different people have different convictions about how a person ought to dress. I don't know if there's a lot of people that think like this nowadays, but back in the day, there would have been a lot of preachers that wouldn't have accepted me because I usually wear a colored shirt, and they thought everybody ought to wear a white shirt. Well, I don't like wearing a white shirt, so I wear a colored shirt, and the Spirit of God hadn't told me that that's not right, and I can't find in the Word of God that that's not right. But if somebody believes that God wants them to wear a white shirt every day of the week, then let them do it. If they need to wear a tie and a coat every day of the week, then let them do it. That is their conviction. God gives us those to make a distinction, just to see if we're going to obey Him or not. Are we going to do what the Holy Spirit has told us is right, or are we going to do what everybody else does? I believe God gives us choices, just like He did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, to see, are we going to do what God wants us to do or not? There's places in your Bible where it'll say that God did a certain thing to see if they would obey, to see if they would listen. Some of God's commands are just to make a distinction, so God can look at us and say they had a choice and they did what I told them to do. And we could look at Him and say, God gave us a command and we followed it. We obeyed it. These two guys, they got fire from the wrong place. God had told them where to get the fire from. And it mattered whether they were going to obey in even the things that it didn't seem like made any difference. It doesn't seem like it would matter where the fire came from. But God was making a distinction. God was judging who was going to be a servant of His and who was not. Who was going to obey and who wasn't. And these two failed. They had that choice to make, and they did something contrary to the Word of God. They did something that God did not command. So people don't die, and to make a distinction, verse 11, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. The commands of God are to put us in a place to teach the things of God. He says, I want you to do all these things, and I want you to do it this way so that you can teach the children of Israel what God has said. So that you can take what God has told Moses and Moses has told you, and you can pass it on to God's people and teach it. You know, we can't teach the commandments of God if we're not obedient to the commandments of God. We can't teach people to act according to the Spirit of God if we're not acting according to the Spirit of God. You know, these men, Nadab and Abihu, we'll get back to them for just a minute and then we'll be done. They were likely in the right place at the right time. They were in the tabernacle. They were in the house of God. They were offering incense at the time that they were supposed to offer incense. They, on the surface, it looked like they were right where they needed to be. You know, they were probably dressed right for the job. You know, when God gave instructions on how to build the tabernacle, God gave instructions on how to dress Aaron. Y'all remember the stones and the names of Israel and the borders and all that kind of stuff. And God gave instructions on how to dress Aaron's sons. The clothes that they were wearing, the pattern had been drawn out by God Himself. So they're in the right place at the right time. They're dressed right. They probably said the right words. I don't know. I don't know if they said any particular words of praise as they were burning the incense. I kind of picture they did, because in a lot of the stuff as far as the tabernacle and the law, there was ceremony and there was words. There were songs to be sung and verses to be quoted and so on and so forth. And I believe that Nadab and Abihu probably said the right words. They're in the right place at the right time. They're dressed right for the job. They said the right words. Everything appears to be right on the outside. But something was not as God commanded. Even in a church, it can be the same way. Everything appears right on the outside. But there can be something that's not what God commands. In the life of any Christian, there can be times where things appear like they're just like they should be on the outside. But on the inside, something's not quite like what God commanded. That's why the psalmist over and over said, "Search my heart and search my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from hidden sins and secret sins and unknown faults and things along that sort. Search your heart today. See if there's anything in there that God is not pleased with." You know, these guys, Nadab and Abihu, they didn't get much grace and mercy, did they? In the last half, you might say the last third of verse 1, they've offered something that God didn't command. By the middle of verse 2, they're already facing the judgment of God. I think this judgment was almost instantaneous. I can just imagine that they come in and they've got their censers and they've got the fire in the censers and the censers are preheated, and they go over to that special place where that incense is that God has commanded Moses for them to make this incense a particular way. By the way, he told them never to make any more like it. That was the only for God's use. And they go to that special place and they get that pinch or that scoop of incense. I don't know how they did it. And they dump it in their censer. And as soon as that incense, that holy incense, touched that unholy fire, I believe the judgment of God was instantaneous. God killed them right on the spot. Now today, we've already said, search your heart. See if there's anything that God is not pleased with. We live in the age of grace. What does that mean for us? It means for us, there's hope. Could God still send fire down from heaven and destroy those that are contrary to Him? Yes, He could. Or He could send any manner of accident or illness or injury or anything of the sort. And we're not saying that anytime anybody has injury or accident or illness that they're contrary to the things of God. But God could use those things to judge. But we live in the age of grace, and there's hope. If there's something in our life that's contrary to the Word of God, there is hope. There is opportunity to make it right. If there are things in the home, in the family, in the church, in the heart, in the mind, in the life that God is not pleased with, there is hope. The blood of Christ cleanses from sin, does it not? As a lost person, we came before God and asked His blood to cleanse us from those sins and make us right with God. And even today, when we find something in our heart, in our life, in our nation, in our church, in our home that's not pleasing to God, we ought to put it under the blood of Christ and let God forgive. Psalmist said, "See if there be any wicked way in me." What do you think he intended to do if he found wickedness in his heart, if God showed him that something was not right, what do you think he intended to do? He intended to make the thing right with God. If God has put something on your heart that is in your life, or your family, your nation, or your church that God is not pleased with, ask God to help make it right. It may, by the way, even be something that you're not involved in. Our nation, should we go to God and ask God for His grace and His mercy and His direction in our nation because there are things that are there that are not right with Him? Should we go to God and ask God for His help on making those things right? Every one of us, if we look to our extended family, every one of us have people in our family that have things in their life that God is not pleased with. I would venture to say that probably every home that's represented here this morning probably has something in it that God's not pleased with. It may not be something major. It may be something very minor. But if there's something, no matter how minor it is, that God is not pleased with, we ought to make it right. Search your heart. See if there's anything God is not pleased with. And make it right with Him. Let's stand and bow our heads.